Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 278 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Their integrity guides their focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. They pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Their network of resources allows them to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, we're going to talk a lot of boys golf today as both Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial have qualified for next week's Class 4A state meet at Briarwood. I'll be talking to the head coach and a golfer from both squads here in a little bit, but right now my first guest is a realtor at Coldwell Banker, and this is his first appearance on the podcast since last October. He's also the father of one of the Centennial golfers, so we can talk a little golf with him too. He's Andy Logan. Andy, I haven't seen you for a while. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Ian. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, I appreciate you coming in. I know you like to play golf too. You know, how's your game? Did you play a lot this summer?
No, my game's terrible. I just chase the boys now. So,
well, they keep you busy,
yeah,
I know.
Absolutely.
So. Well, yeah, I'm sure you're excited to watch your son Tiernan play for the Jaguars next week. Now, did you go to Council Bluffs for the district meet?
We did go there. Yes, we did. It was a beautiful golf course, beautiful day, and a beautiful result for the team.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I know he had one bad hole on number six, but he was able to bounce back with a birdie on the next hole, and then he's able to grind out an 82, so I'm sure you're proud of him.
Yeah, I was. You know, he grinded hard that day. Like you said, had a really bad hole and some three putts, but other than that, he's hitting the ball well, and he's going to be ready to go.
Well, the state meet used to always be held on Friday and Saturday of this week, but it was moved to Monday and Tuesday of next week this year. And looking at the forecast, boy, you know, that's going to result in a big drop in temperatures. We were supposed to have a high of 84 on Friday and then 75 on Saturday, but the high now is only going to be 56 on Monday and Tuesday. So I guess the golfers are going to have to deal with that, huh?
Yeah, you know what? They're used to it. They've seen it and been through it all, so they're pretty resilient, all the golfers out there.
Well, I haven't heard. Do you know why they moved the state meet from this week to next?
You know, my guess would be just those Friday and Saturday tee times for golf courses are their higher earning days, and it probably gives us better access to getting better golf courses if we do it on a Monday, Tuesday versus a Friday, Saturday.
I suppose. And then from the AD's point of view, they're busy on Fridays with football. I suppose Saturdays with volleyball, maybe they wanted to relieve some of their responsibilities.
That very well could play into it also, you bet.
Well, hey, let's talk a little real estate too. You know, what's new in the housing market?
Hey, you know, the market's actually starting to heat up a little bit. Our rates have come down a little bit. We're getting a little bit more inventory on the market, and we're actually seeing less days on the market than the previous 60. So we're feeling good about it. MJ Properties still building some houses. We have big new development going out east of the interstate that's going to open in the spring, so we're excited about that. And look forward to a great 2025.
Yeah, it seems like MJ always has some new development in the works, don't they?
Absolutely, and that's along with their with DRA Properties. It's they've been great for the community.
Well, I know the Federal Reserve, you know, cut its interest rate by half a point last month, and that was the first reduction in 4 years, and that was a move to ease borrowing costs for consumers. And I think that was supposed to result in lower mortgage rates. But I also read today, you know, where the strong economic indicators, you know, have pushed the home rates, you know, back up a little bit.
Correct.
So where exactly are they at right now?
Well, you know, and that's the thing. The community was banking on a rate drop, you know, of either a quarter or a half percent drop on the big rate. And so interest rates aren't directly tied to that as far as homeowners go. But, you know, They were built in as they started going down.
Gotcha. Well, then, of course, you guys are also dealing. I know a while back they instituted that new rule where they had to where the commissions had to be up front. I mean, yep. That's something you guys all had to deal with.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. You know, it's one of those things that a little more communication between people never is a bad thing. The commission rates have always been negotiable and still are to this day. So it's actually a good thing, I think, as far as everything goes.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, before I let you go, why don't you tell us a little bit more about those properties, the MJ properties you were talking about,
yes.
You know, the size and so forth.
Absolutely. So MJ still has three spec homes over in Centennial Estates ready to go, anywhere from, you know, 15 to almost 1,800 square feet, 485 to 585. So if you ever need to take a look, check out Centennial Estates, MJ Properties, and you'll find three really great homes.
Might have to check those out. My wife might want to upgrade. I don't know. You never know with her. So, well, hey, Andy, thanks a lot for coming today. Maybe I'll see you at the course on Monday.
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks, Dan.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
All right, well, my next guest is the longtime head coach of the Yankton Boys golf team, and his team won the district meet on Monday at the Ottumwa Country Club by shooting a 298, allowing the Hawks to qualify for state for the second year in a row and the third time in 5 years. He is Mike Weddingfield. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me again.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on making it to state. You guys went into Monday's meet needing to beat at least one of the three teams ranked ahead of you, and I know you told me that you're also worried about Ottumwa playing on its home course. You know, I'm sure you would have been happy just to place in the top three. You know, did you ever imagine that you guys would win the meet?
I did not. You know, with Valley and Southeast Polk being there, I just really thought we were playing for third place, maybe second if we really got hot. But when the scores started coming in and we started adding up as a team, I was just like, we shot 298. We might be right there. And so, yeah, I was really surprised that some of those schools shot a little higher than that. But it was a great boost for us.
Yeah, your team finished 5 strokes ahead of North Scott and 7 strokes ahead of number one Valley, but both of those teams will advance to state. Now, of course, Valley is the defending state champ, but you guys were able to beat the Tigers by a stroke to win the Jesse Peck Invitational at Briarwood on August 19th. Since then, though, I think Valley had beaten your team 6 consecutive times. You know, so for you guys to beat the Tigers, you know, that has to be a huge confidence boost going into state.
It does. It shows us that anybody's beatable, and we just go out and play our game and just kind of see what happens, and, you know, that's what you got to do. You just got to play your best every day, and you don't know what the scores are until they come in unless you're playing head-to-head, which we weren't. So you just do your best and keep your fingers crossed.
Well, you've always said that your team needs to have 4 scores in the 70s to be competitive, and you guys were able to do even better than that on Monday because you had 3 scores in the 70s, and then the guy sitting here with us today, Duncan Bielner, carded a 69 to earn medalist honors. You know, he's just been so steady for you this year. You know, I really thought you guys would have a hard time replacing Drew Henson after last season, but boy, Duncan has really taken that number one role and flourished, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. He's just a very steady kid, mentally, emotionally. You walk up and you don't know if he just made birdie or made bogey, and that's gone a long ways for him. He just is a great leader, great kid, very smart. So he thinks about his golf game. He thinks about the golf course. He thinks about, where do I want to hit the ball? Where do I want to leave, you know, on a shot or things like that. So that mental side is huge. Plus, he just hits the ball a long ways, too, when he wants to. So it was great to see it all come together. Like I said, I think when you wrote your article, he made mistakes, but he made a heck of a lot of birdies. And you can make mistakes if you're making birdies. So it was great to see him go low, and that really helped us, too.
Well, then your son, Caden, shot a 75 and placed 7th overall. And I know he had some struggles early in the season, but, you know, he's really playing well right now, isn't he?
He has. You know, those first 2 rounds got him down. I think he started the year really wanting to shoot a score and, you know, be a leader for his team, and that pressure got to him. And then once he figured out some things mentally and just relaxed and played the game, and he's a good golfer. He works hard at it, and that's gone a long ways for him. I know Duncan and Caden talked about, you know, different things to do on the course, different breathing techniques and things like that we worked on for 3 years, you know, because golf is so mental, like I keep saying, that your emotions get to you, and one bad shot turns into a bad hole, turns into 2 bad holes, and we've really limited that a lot this year, and I think these last few weeks, and so that's helped us a lot, and obviously our scores are getting better, and the confidence builds when you're doing that. You know that you're capable of shooting good scores, and nobody's perfect, so you're going to have those bad shots, but you just got to let them go.
You guys also got a pair of 77s from Evan Hodapp and Ryan Constable, placed 15th and 17th, respectively. And I know Evan had a couple of double bogeys early on, but then he really locked in, didn't he?
He did. I think he realized that, you know, the team needed him. I told him, you're capable of making birdies. You know, he's another long ball hitter, plays well. So you just got to let those bad holes go, you know, put them in the back of your mind. And I know it's hard, but we keep preaching that. And he went out and made some birdies and made a lot of pars and stepped up for us, you know. And Ryan did the same. He just played steady all day and you know, coming in with a 77 below his average on a course we played twice before that was just huge for the team. So he really stepped up, and all the guys did. I mean, even the guys' scores that didn't count, they grinded all day I think Gavin had a really good 9 holes, and the other 9 was a little bit higher that affected his score a little bit. And Sam grinded all day, and so that's just what you got to do. And like I said, you just never know what anybody else is going to do. And I thought the scores were a little higher than I expected. So, we came out on top. It was great.
Right. Well, yeah, Evan was an individual state qualifier as a sophomore 2 years ago. And then last year, of course, he shot an 84 in the first round before having to withdraw after his first hole on the second day due to some bad neck spasms. You know, I'm sure he's just thrilled to be going back to state, isn't he?
He is. He is. I know he probably had a goal set for himself to do that after doing it his sophomore year and then getting back last year. But I know the team-wise, he really wanted everybody to get back and get there. It's just a lot more fun than going by yourself to have your team there and have all those extra people cheering for you. So, yeah, he was super pumped that we made it as a team. And the great thing is about golf is we made it as a team that all six guys can win it individually. So it's not like you have to qualify individually. So
right.
Everybody's still got a shot.
When you mentioned the other guys, Sam Ortega had an 83 and Gavin Ross had an 84. And I know you said you were proud of all the guys, you know, and Gavin especially has typically been among your top four scorers. You know, and you may need one or both of those guys next week.
Exactly. Earlier in the year, we've had several ties. I think the first two times we tied, we lost. And then the last time we tied, I think we finally won or maybe the last two. But that fifth score is super important. That sixth score is super important because you never know. And, you know, you'd hate to lose a tiebreaker and just because of one or two shots. So we preach that all the time, that all six guys' scores are important. We can't just always lean on our top, you know, three or four guys. Everybody's got to step up.
Let's look ahead to state now. Of course, you guys won the tournament at Briarwood early in the season. And, you know, if you could match the score that you shot that day and shoot two more rounds of 296, you know, you'd probably take that right now, wouldn't you?
I would take that. I would put that in the books and see what else everybody can do. But we'll see. Maybe we can go out and shoot better. Maybe not. The weather's supposed to be cool. I don't know if the wind's supposed to blow too bad, hopefully. It can't be as bad as last year at Otter that first day. But we've been so fortunate with the weather that it'll be a little different putting some, you know, winter clothes on, and that
right.
kind of bunches you up a little bit. You don't seem to swing as freely. So that'll take a little getting used to. I almost wish it was cool these few days so we could be out practicing at the range, hitting with some clothes on, because, you know, shorts and shirts are easy, but when you get those extra layers, it makes it a little different swinging the club.
Right, right. Well, like I said earlier, Valley's the defending champ, and they've been ranked number one all year. You know, just, do you still feel like they have to be the favorite going into the meet?
I do. I think Johnson's up there, too. Seeing the scores they shot, you don't know. Like I said, we beat Valley twice. They beat us a whole bunch of times, but I guess being the defending state champ, that gives them a little bit of edge to come in and shoot well. So we'll see.
Well, yeah, Johnston's ranked number two, but both the Dragons and Valley lost to Waukee in the conference meet at Otter Creek last week. You know, so it seems like any of the CIML teams, you know, could be in contention. And then you have teams like number four Dubuque Wallert and number five Pleasant Valley that you haven't seen this year, and they certainly look good on paper.
Yeah, they do, and I don't follow their scores very well out there, but, you know, I was just talking to the guys the other day, and Kurt, you know, looking at our conference, the nine teams in our conference, six of them are at state right now. And two of the others that didn't make it could have just as easily been there. And so our competition that we've played all year long has been state-level competition. We haven't won them all, but we've been playing against them, and we know we can play with them. So I think competition, you know, is the best thing for you. If you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. And so seeing those teams all year long has been great for us. So I'm just excited to get out and play and hope the weather's nice and let the kids go do their thing.
Well, yeah, your team is still ranked 15th, so I don't imagine, you know, too many of the other teams will be looking at you guys as the favorites. But, you know, that's probably a good place to be, though, don't you think? I mean, there's not going to be pressure on you guys.
Right. I was just telling Duncan as we were standing out waiting to come in and talk to you that, you know, I don't mind being the underdog. You know, defending state champs, everybody's looking at you to do it again. And that little extra pressure, we're just glad we made it, you know. We're coming off a high on a win, and we're just going to go out and have fun and enjoy the 2 days and appreciate that we're at state. And, you know, I've got four seniors playing on the team. That's their last high school event. And so I think you just have to enjoy it. And the more relaxed you are, the more you enjoy it, the better they play. And so that's a lot of my job, is just keep them relaxed and have fun and see what happens.
Why don't you said after Monday that you felt like, you know, you guys are playing some of the best golf of the year. You know, if you can continue to do that for two more rounds, you know, you have to feel pretty good about your chances to place pretty high.
I do. Like I said, Centennial, I think they're kind of ranked up there too, but it's their home course, so I think they're going to be tough out there because they've played it more than anybody, obviously. We've played a few rounds out there this year, and so we're familiar with the golf course, but still, when you're putting on those greens and hitting on those bent grass fairways and stuff over there, it's a little different. So, you know, they could be the top team up there too. And so you just never know what happens. I know the other day at our districts, you know, Braden Nelson, top kid in the state, he was sick, you know, and so things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you just never know. And somebody gets sick, somebody has a few bad holes, hits a couple OB, things can change in a heartbeat out there. So,
yeah. Yeah, hope you don't have anybody with a neck spasm.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need that again. We need our full force.
Well, your 2020 team placed fifth at state, and that was your highest finish since the 2011 team also placed fifth. You know, if you could match or surpass those finishes, you'd probably be pretty happy, wouldn't you?
I would. Like I said, you're naming all the teams that are there that are ranked ahead of us. So any team that's ranked ahead of us that we can finish ahead of, I think, is a win in our column. Like I said, I'm not looking on paper to – we're not talking about who we're going to beat. We're just going to go out and play our best and let the chips fall where they may.
That's all you can do. You can't play defense.
So. You can't. I can't sub anybody out. Yeah, I just got to keep the kids – mentally positive, mentally ready to go, and enjoy it. I mean, like I said, it's a high school event. It's state, a lot of eyes on you. It's the last round for a lot of these guys, so.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, I'll see you out there, and thanks for coming in, Mike.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Yep. All right, my next guest is a senior on the Ankeny Boys golf team, and he has been the team's number one player all season with a 74.08 average, which currently ranks 14th in Class 4A. He is Duncan Billner. Duncan, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on making it to state. We talked with the coach about how you guys had to beat at least one of the three teams ranked ahead of you on Monday in order to qualify. You know, how much confidence did you have going into the meet that you guys could get the job done?
I was a little iffy about it, but I think everyone came together that day, and I think we had a lot of really positive energy that really helped us, I don't know, propel to our win there, honestly.
Well, you told me on Monday that your team had only played a couple of practice rounds on the Ottumwa Country Club course. So what did you learn about the course, and what was the key for all of you to post some good scores?
I think mostly it was the greens, being able to figure out where to miss. And since the course was pretty tight, being like knowing where to miss it off the tee box too, and really just eliminate the mistakes, because I think that's truly why the scores felt so high out there, was just everyone was making mistakes or being in the wrong spots, and that really cost some teams.
Well, you really only had one hiccup all day, and that was a double bogey on the par 3 number 7 hole. You know, so what happened on that hole? Did you have a bad drive or something? Or?
Yeah, so it was, that was a tough shot. I just pulled it a little bit. The wind didn't bring it back. Ended up on a downhill going up 20 feet, you know, hit it over the green, just didn't get up and down, double. But I think really what helped from there was just staying in a positive mindset and knowing I was like, I'm still under par, you know, and I gotta keep fighting for my team, you know.
Well, yeah, you more than made up for that by making 7 birdies on the day. You told me that you had a lot of putts from 10 plus feet drop, and I guess it's a shorter course and there was no wind, so you were able to really attack the holes, weren't you?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, now you guys get to play in the state meet at Briarwood, which is a course that you're very familiar with. You placed 4th in the Jesse Peck Invitational earlier this season with a 71 to lead your team to the overall title. You know, do you remember much about that round specifically, or was that long enough ago that you don't really recall much?
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty long time ago. I try not to get too strung up on the stuff of the past and just kind of focus on the present.
Well, how does the Briarwood course differ from some of the other courses that you play? And are there several good opportunities there for birdies on that course?
Yeah, I think there's plenty of opportunities for birdies on that course. I think the only thing about that course is the length. I think it does play a lot longer than most of the courses that we play during the year. So if you have the ability to hit it long off the tee box, I think that's a huge advantage out there.
Well, we kind of broke down the team race with Coach earlier. You know, what are your expectations for your team going into the meet? Do you feel like, you know, you guys could maybe contend for a trophy?
I'd like not to think about, you know, putting any expectations on us. I'd rather just us go out and play golf, and if something good happens, then that's great.
Well, Duncan, this will be your second state meet. Last year, you helped your team to a 10th place finish on your home course there at Otter Creek. You shot rounds of 80 and 81 to tie for 43rd place overall with a 161 total. You know, did you learn anything from playing in last year's meet that you think could be helpful for you next week?
Yeah, but being able to fight through adversity mentally and physically, you know, if the conditions are not great, you need to really pull yourself together and focus on each shot. Otherwise, you'll end up falling behind.
We said you didn't want to have any team expectations. Do you have any individual goals, though?
I'd rather not do that to myself. You know, just go out and play golf, and whatever happens, happens.
Let's talk about some of the other golfers you'll be competing against, though. Andrew Johansson of Johnston leads the state with a 70.62 average. And Braden Nelson of Valley, who Coach mentioned, is right behind him at 70.75. And Nelson, of course, is the two-time defending state runner-up. And he was the medalist at the Peck Invitational with a 69. You know, he's just been so good all year. Do you feel like, you know, he's maybe the one to beat?
I do. I think he's just so consistent everywhere in his game. He just doesn't have a lot of flaws. And, you know, out on a golf course like that, there's not a lot of mistakes to be made. So I think he's definitely got an advantage.
Well, I see that freshman from Waukee, Jonathan Ward, has really come on strong too and is now ranked seventh. He shot a 66 to win the conference meet by four strokes last week, and then he had a 64 on Monday to win the district meet at Council Bluffs by four shots as well. You know, he's probably playing better than anybody right now, isn't he?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, those scores are just ridiculous, especially out of a freshman.
Well, with that many players in the field too, you never know who's going to step up and just play out of their mind. Well, it should be a fun tournament. Looking forward to it. I'll probably see you out there. Thanks for coming in, Duncan.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa is a co-sponsor of the podcast. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. All right, well, my next guest is in his second season as the head coach of the Ankeny Centennial Boys Golf Team, and his team placed third in the district meet on Monday at Bent Tree Golf Club in Council Bluffs by shooting a 296, allowing the Jaguars to qualify for state for the second year in a row and the eighth time in school history. He is Andrew Reedy. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm good, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Well, congratulations on making it to state. You guys went into Monday's meet needing to beat at least one of the three teams ranked ahead of you, and I certainly thought you guys were capable of doing that, but I don't think I would have predicted that you would finish ahead of number three Waukee Northwest and that the Wolves wouldn't qualify for state. That's probably not the team that you thought you'd beat, huh?
Yeah, you know, they told the guys going into it that we were in a position like we were last year at districts where there wasn't a team at our district that we hadn't beat. So we'd beat Waukee Northwest maybe 2 weeks before that. I believe, Charlie, it was at Vinker we beat them. Yeah, so we beat them. We knew we could beat them, so we weren't afraid of any of the teams, and we knew if we played well, then we'd have a good shot to get through. So,
Larry, you told me last week that you guys were heading over to Council Bluffs on Sunday to play a practice round before Monday's meet. You know, how beneficial do you think that practice round was?
Yeah, really beneficial. We actually took the opportunity a few weeks before that to play all the district venues that were potential district venues so that when we got another practice round the day before, we would be seeing it for the second time. So these kids had seen that golf course twice. So.
Well, let's talk about some of your guys. Nathan Bullard led the way by shooting a 70 that allowed him to tie for fourth as an individual. And I know he was six under par at one point. You know, he really had it going, didn't he?
Oh, he sure did, yeah. And it was really fun to watch. And, you know, every time I came back, he was, you know, I asked him all the time, how's it going? And, you know, his deal on Monday was same old is what he kept telling me. So I didn't quite know what that meant. But then talking to mom and dad, they're like, oh, yeah, he's 400 now. Oh, no, he's 500 now. It's like, okay. So.
Well, Jackson Lewis tied for ninth with a 73. And he's a guy that has really struggled at times this year. And you told me the other night that you're as proud of him as any kid you've ever coached, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Jackson had really struggled with his game, and then it had started to seep into his confidence and the way he viewed himself as a player. And so he went to work on his game, but also the mental side of things, and, you know, came out stronger for it on the other side, and we saw that on Monday.
And then McCoy Miller tied for 12th with 75, and then the guy sitting here with us tonight, Charlie Morrissey, provided your fourth score with a 78. Now, Charlie has really been consistent this year, hasn't he?
He really has. And Monday, he kind of leaked a little oil coming in. He was our last guy on the golf course, so I went and joined him for his final hole, and we decided to hit less than driver on that hole to try to avoid trouble, and unfortunately, that plan backfired a little bit, and he ended up making double bogey on that final hole, so we actually kind of struggled as a team to finish. Our four scoring players played their final holes a combined six over par. So, in knowing how close it was, we weren't feeling great about that finish, but luckily we were able to get through, so Charlie had played really well up until that point, and so giving himself a little bit of wiggle room, and he got the job done. So.
All right, and then your other scores were an 82 by Tiernan Logan and 84 from Jet Levan. And I know both of those guys had some rough holes, obviously, but you were really proud of the way that they bounced back, you know, from that adversity, weren't you?
Yeah, you know, that's just a necessity, and what we do as a team is to never give up and never quit fighting. And, you know, we preach that the fifth and possibly sixth score could be the deciding factor. Those are the tiebreakers. So if you tie with another team and your first four scores, then it goes to the fifth scores, and then ultimately it would go to the sixth scores. So all our guys just know that even if they're not playing great for themselves, you know, the selfish kind of way to look at that is, oh, I'm not playing great, I'm just going to kind of give in today. And we can't do that in team golf. So they understand that, and both of those guys did a really good job of that on Monday.
Well, Dally Gathick shot a 281 to easily win the team title, so the Maroons obviously rebounded from their eighth place finish in the conference meet last week at Otter Creek, and they had no trouble, you know, posting some low scores. So was this a course with a lot of birdie opportunities then?
Yeah, you know, it was playing 6,300 yards, which is, you know, a few hundred yards shorter than we would typically play. The state tournament's going to play at about 6,670, so about 400 yards shorter than the state tournament golf course. There's also opportunities to get in trouble at Bent Tree, so, you know, there's no mow in a lot of spots. So regardless of their length, you know, if you get sideways at all, it can bite you. So if you keep it between the tall grass, you can certainly make some birdies.
Well, you guys have known all year that you'd be hosting the state meet at Briarwood, you know, and that certainly provided an opportunity for your team that you didn't want to waste. It had to be a huge relief once you realized that you had qualified for state.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that was on our radar. Certainly, you know, you recognize that. You don't try to dwell on it or let that pressure kind of get to you, but you got to kind of recognize the fact that we have a really good opportunity to host the state tournament, and there's some things we need to do to be able to do that, and I think the kids just did a fantastic job of, you know, approaching that district tournament and the whole season with the mentality that, you know, an expectation that we were going to be at the state tournament.
Well, you guys enter the state meet ranked 12th, and of course, last year you placed 11th in Class 4A when the meet was held at Otter Creek. You know, I'm sure you'd like to improve on last year's finish, especially since you are playing on your home course. You know, has the team set any goals, you know, for the meet yet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The beginning of the year, you know, I was having to write out some goals, and, you know, kind of one of the prevailing goals, I think it was actually last year before, you know, right after the state tournament, started talking about, you know, next year's state tournament, and it was, you know, we'd really like to get a trophy, so the top three teams get a trophy, and you know, that's been kind of the goal all year long, and a goal that we believe is reachable, and you know, we're going to go in with some expectations that you know, this is our home course, and you got to come beat us on it. So
well, yeah, I'm sure playing on your home course, you know, give you somewhat of an advantage, but you know that doesn't guarantee anything. Your team hosted the Jesse Peck Invitational at Briarwood on August 19th, and you placed third in that meet with a 301, where you finished third behind Ankeny and Valley. Now, Valley, of course, is the defending state champion, and they've been ranked number one all season long, but the Tigers did place third in a district meet on Monday at Ottumwa behind Ankeny and North Scott. Do you still feel like the Tigers, though, are maybe the team to beat?
Yeah, you know, in order to be the champ, you got to beat the champ, and you know, obviously they've played great all season long. The nature of our sport, we saw it on Monday with Joaquin Northwest. You don't have an opportunity to have a bad day. Every team has the potential to have a bad day, and every team has the potential to have a good day. I've been telling my guys that, you know, we've been seeing these teams all kind of go off and have that really good day, and the law of averages would say that it's our turn sometime here soon. So these guys are all capable of shooting low scores, and I'm absolutely confident that we can do that on Monday and Tuesday.
Well, there's so many good teams in the field. Johnston is ranked number two, but both the Dragons and Valley finished behind Waukee at the conference meet, and the Warriors shot a 292 to place second at your district meet, so they're clearly playing well. You know, I already mentioned what Dowling did on Monday, and then you have teams like number four Dubuque Waller and number five Pleasant Valley that you haven't seen this year. You know, so does it seem like, you know, a lot of teams could contend for the title?
Oh, absolutely. It's wide open, and I would say that any team that is in the state tournament is there for a reason. Whether they just had a really good day, but that tells you that they're capable of having a really good day. So we are playing with Ankeny and Indianola and Cedar Rapids Prairie on the first day. And, you know, I think good competition to have, play with good competition, that's always an advantage. So we're looking forward to that.
Well, I'm good to hear that. Glad to hear that you'll be playing with Ankeny. That'll make my job easier.
Sure will.
Two different teams. So, well, with your team being ranked 12th, you know, obviously you guys aren't going to be one of the favorites to win it. And that's probably a good place to be. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's going to be a lot of pressure on you guys.
Yeah. I just think that all the predictions, you know, one of the things that happened before the district tournament was, we had a chance to have a team dinner the night before the district tournament. And as we were breaking from that, McCoy showed me that Iowa Golf Preps, which is something that covers our sport a little bit in the state, had made some predictions on the district tournaments and which teams would get through, and we weren't included in that. And we showed the guys that and a little bulletin board material, and I'm going to tell you, they came on Monday with, they may not have known it or had it in the front of their mind, but it really looked like they had a chip on their shoulder, and I think we like playing as the underdogs, so.
Now, because you guys are hosting the meet, do you have any added responsibilities, you know, because this is the state meet? You know, I know that the IHSAA will have a lot of their people there. So will they be handling a lot of those details so that you can focus on coaching?
Yeah, the IHSAA and the Iowa PGA actually administer the championship. So, you know, that was kind of my question to Nate Linder and our AD kind of leading up to it, was like, what are my responsibilities or our responsibilities going to be? And I think it was Tuesday I talked with him and he said, you got no responsibilities, you just coach, you just worry about that. So I was relieved to hear that.
Oh, that's a good deal. Well, it should be a fun meet. I'm looking forward to it. Good luck next week. I'll see you out there, and thanks for coming tonight.
Thanks a lot, Dan.
You bet. Well, my final guest tonight is a senior on the Centennial squad. He carded a 78 in the district meet on Monday, and he currently ranks third among the Jaguars with a 38.40 average for 9 holes. He is Charlie Morrissey. Charlie, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Well, congratulations on making it to state. We talked with Coach about how you guys had to beat at least one of the three teams ranked ahead of you on Monday in order to qualify. You know, how much confidence did you have going into the meet that you guys could get the job done?
I felt we were pretty confident. We've been able to beat, as Coach said, we've been able to beat all three teams that were at our district. It was a little surprising seeing how Northwest didn't play very well. I was not expecting them to miss.
Yeah, I was certainly surprised when I saw those scores. Well, you were one over par on the front nine, but you ran into a little bit of trouble on the back nine, including a double bogey on number 11. You know, was it your putter that let you down at times, or were you struggling maybe with some other parts of your game?
I felt like I was hitting it pretty well. I just couldn't get any putts to fall. I was hitting a lot of greens, but just nothing was falling for me. Couldn't make any birdies.
You have days like that in golf, though, don't you?
Well,
you guys ended up beating Milwaukee Northwest by 3 strokes for that final qualifying spot. And they were obviously, you know, a really good team during the regular season. They had just beaten you by 10 shots at the conference meet. You know, so when the scores were rolling in and you saw what Dally and Milwaukee were doing, and Coach mentioned that he was walking with you on those last couple of holes, you know, did you get a little worried, you know, before you guys found out what the final results were?
Yeah, I was a little nerve-wracking coming in. I didn't really know where people stood. In my group, my Dally kid didn't play very well, so I thought it was going to be us and them battling out for the third spot. Based on how I heard the Waukee, their freshman, who was like 400 through 4, just kept going lower. And my Waukee kid was playing well, and my Waukee Northwest kid was playing well. So I didn't really think Northwest was our competition, but coming in here and that their one shot 78, I thought.
Yeah, you just never know until those scores roll in, do you?
Yeah.
Well, it had to be a big relief then when you found out that you guys had qualified. You know, was it a fun ride home then?
Yeah.
I'll bet. Well, now you guys get to play in the state meet on your home course. You know, how big of an advantage do you think that's going to be?
I think it'll be a real big advantage. Me and Nathan McCoy are all members out there, so we've played that course all summer and know those greens, and we've been in spots like I've probably been in every single spot could be on that course, and other three have been out there too, so it'll be a real advantage.
Well, for the teams coming here like Dubuque, Wallert, and Pleasant Valley that probably aren't very familiar with the course, you know, are there some holes at Briarwood where you can really get yourself into some trouble if you don't know how to play it?
Yeah, hole 5 stands out for me. It's a really tough tee shot, and the wind, it slopes all to the right, and right now wind's forecasted off the left on that hole, so that's a scary tee shot, and out of bounds is no fun.
Oh, for sure. Well, yeah, we kind of broke down the team race with Coach earlier. You know, what are your expectations for the team going into the meet? Do you feel like, you know, if you guys can shoot some, you know, 2 sub-300 rounds, that you could contend for a trophy?
I think it's very possible. You hit a couple bad shots out there, and you can shoot 78 if you hit 3 bad shots because you hit one out of bounds and there's 2 shots right there. So I think anybody could contend.
Well, Charlie, this will be your second state meet. Last year, of course, you helped your team to an 11th place finish in Class 4A at Otter Creek. You shot rounds of 81 and 77 to place 38th overall with that 158 total. You know, did you learn anything from playing in last year's meet that you think could be helpful for you next week?
Yeah, I think the experience was great. I'm being able to control the nerves and know what that feels like being in those competitions. So I think that'll help out a lot.
And what are your individual goals for the meet? Do you feel like, you know, you could maybe contend for a top 20 finish if you play like you're capable of?
I think so. I've been playing well out there when I've been playing on the weekend. So I think if I could medal, which I don't know what medal is, but that would be my goal.
Let's talk about some of the golfers you'll be competing against. Andrew Johansson of Johnston leads the state with a 70.62 average. Braden Nelson of Valley is right behind him at 70.75. Nelson's the two-time defending state runner-up, and he was the medalist in that Jesse Peck Invitational earlier this season with a 69. Do you feel like he has to be the favorite for medalist?
I think so. I mean, he's been runner-up 2 years in a row, and he's just been, I mean, he's averaging under 70 and playing really well here, so I think he's the one to beat.
Well, then you mentioned that freshman from Waukee, Jonathan Ward. You know, he's really come on strong too, and he's ranked seventh. He shot a 66 to win the conference meet by 4 strokes, and then he had that 64 on Monday to win your district by 4 shots. You know, he's probably playing better than anyone right now, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. He's also had some rough patches in the beginning of the year, I think, but he's been playing really well recently.
Well, it should be a fun meet. I'm looking forward to it. I'll probably see you out there. You know, good luck, and thanks for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Coldwell Banker Realtor Andy Logan, followed by Ankeny Boys Golf Head Coach Mike Wedingfeld and Senior Duncan Billner. And then we finished things off with Centennial Boys Coach Andrew Reedy and Senior Charlie Morrissey. I appreciate the time from all of those folks. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.